The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, welcome to the Trumpet Daily Program, broadcasting live today on Black Friday. So we're not out shopping today. We are here working. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Stephen Fleury. Thanks for joining us today. Thankfully, we've got some crew helping us, Parker and Justice in there. They said they might do some online shopping while we do this program. So I'm not sure. Take advantage of all those deals that are out there, supposedly. It'll be interesting to see if people do go out and spend because, of course, there is quite a bit of problem with inflation. And that was talked about yesterday on this program. Andrew Locher did the program yesterday, and he focused on inflation and how things are costing more. And if you go out shopping for groceries or anything, you know that. Those prices are going up, and they continue to go up. And so it'll be interesting to see how the economy does. And so if you didn't catch that program live yesterday, go back and watch that. The Trumpet Daily Program there talked about inflation, and Andrew Locher was talking about that yesterday. Well, thanks for joining us here today. We broadcast on CRN3 Digital Radio and also online nationwide at thetrumpet.com/live. So a growing audience, and we're thankful to have you with us here today, coming out of Thanksgiving. So in a thankful mood and attitude, hopefully, we do have a lot to be thankful for. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. We were talking before the show about the variety of turkeys and what flavors and recipes people like. We were blessed to have that type of the food, the abundance that we have in this nation. We're still so blessed, and we really should be thankful and should appreciate that. But as you know, there are a lot of problems that are in this country as well, a lot of challenges that are on the scene. We have a new Trumpet magazine that has just come out, and we're going to put that up here on the screen so you can see what it looks like. This is an awesome cover, just a spectacular cover, I think. They're always great. This one's really, I think, just outstanding. It does highlight what's going on in this world. You know, people are facing the storm. They're facing all of these different problems, all these different difficulties that are coming, and how do you deal with them? So this Trumpet magazine, this new one that's coming out, it's a January one, it focuses on these things. And these are things that are affecting all of us. There's so many different things happening now. There's a lot of fear that's out there. I want to talk about that in the first part of the show today, talk about the fear that's being spread around. And then the second half of the program, I want to give the other side of it. I want to talk about courage. Fear and courage, because there is a lot of fear in this world, and a lot of people are afraid. There's some reason to be afraid, I suppose, or to have some concern. That's a better way to say it, maybe. But there is a lot of fear-mongering that's going on. That the Trumpet magazine that we were talking about there, it has a feature story from Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury. The title is Why Your World is Changing So Suddenly. You know, you stop. You just think back 2 years. Think about Thanksgiving 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I'm kind of losing track of how long we've been in this COVID. But the world is completely different. Isn't your life different? A couple years down the road, the world is changing so suddenly. And he's right. It is. It says our societies are fundamentally transforming. And when you know why, you can know what to do. See, we have to understand why they're changing. We all can see the changes. But why is it changing? Why are the changes happening? We have to understand why. I just want to give you a quote from this article from Mr. Fleury. It says, our world has never changed so dramatically, so rapidly. That's not hyperbole. I mean, look around. You know that's happening. Leaders in politics, business, education, and media are ignoring the law. They're violating freedoms and enforcing radical policies on unwilling people. People are being forced to do things against their will, things that a few years ago, I don't think any of us thought people would just comply to, but they're doing it. They're being bent to people's will, to the leadership's will, and they're using fear to bend people to their will, as we'll talk about. He says they are turning coronavirus, the environment, race, and other issues into weapons for forcing through their agenda. Have you seen that? Is that happening? Of course it is. These things are being weaponized. They're being weaponized to force through their agenda. That's happening on so many fronts. This Trumpet magazine talks about this. It says, this is already affecting all of us, but believe it or not, much worse is coming. And of course, that's based on Bible prophecy. He says, you need to recognize the unseen reason why this is happening. So again, that's what's highlighted in this Trumpet edition. We can see these things happening. You can see them happening. I can see them happening. They affect our lives. They affect us at the grocery store. They affect us when we're buying food for Thanksgiving. It affects us when we try to travel. All of these things that we are experiencing, all of these changes in society, they're affecting all of us. We can all see that. But the question then is why? Why is it happening? Why is it happening? And what do we do about it? And this Trumpet magazine gives you those answers. So people are afraid. There is a lot of fear. And right on time, right after Thanksgiving, they could barely wait for Thanksgiving dinner to wrap up. And here comes the media. Here come the scientists. There's a new COVID variant, a new one. This one's worse than anything you've ever heard of before. Apparently, that's what they're saying. Right on time, they're coming to get everybody scared again. Everybody better get really afraid. The Drudge Report is doing its best to scare everyone to death this morning. If you want to see that, I think we've got the headlines there. And those are the headlines there from the Drudge Report today. And you know it's serious, and you know it's scary because they use big font and it's red. So that I don't know if that's the biggest font they can do. And they have a picture of something, which I assume is the artist's conception of what this new COVID variant looks like. They're trying to scare you to death. Terrible things that are going to be happening here. Super strain sinks stocks. So the stock market's having some upheaval because of this super strain. New travel restrictions. Vax resistant, question mark? I don't even understand that headline. The current strains are vax resistant. So this one's more vax resistant? Scientists sound alarm. Who's having an emergency meeting today? Those are the headlines today. Those are the headlines. Fox News is on this story. They say nations took swift action Friday to halt air travel from southern Africa in reaction to news of a new transmissible COVID-19 variant. So Southern Africa is really being affected by this. It says, although the World Health Organization cautioned against hastily imposing travel restrictions, yeah, they're cautioning. They're all doing it already, whether they say they're cautioning against it or not. Travel restrictions linked to the B.1.1.529, so if you can keep that in mind. They're going to call it the new, I guess, NU, maybe. Maybe they're going to change it. But that's the variant, warning officials to avoid, as they say, knee-jerk responses. Well, it's already happening. The 27-nation European Union said it would propose stopping air travel from southern Africa. The EU joined Israel and the United Kingdom, who are likewise imposing a travel ban. There's 30 variations in the spike protein in this one, they say. 30 variations. This thing is going to be quite serious. For those who woke up this morning and decided to turn on ABC News, here is what you saw, clip 3.
This morning, concerns over a new COVID variant that scientists warn could be more dangerous than the deadly Delta variant. The new variant was detected earlier this week in South Africa, and more than 20 cases have already been reported, largely among young people. Experts say the variant's mutations represent a big jump in evolution and worry that it may be better at evading the body's defenses.
The early indications we have of this variant is that it may be more transmissible than the Delta variant, and the vaccines that we currently have may be less effective against it.
No cases have been detected in Europe so far, but officials there are taking no chances. The UK announcing that starting today, it will ban flights from 6 African nations. The discovery comes as European countries announce new restrictions as cases surge. The Czech Republic ordering bars and clubs to close at 10 p.m. and banning Christmas markets. And the Netherlands reintroducing mask mandates in stores and ordering bars and restaurants to close at 8 p.m. COVID surges not just a problem overseas. 35 states have reported an increase in daily cases of 10% or more in the last 2 weeks, with hospitalizations climbing in nearly half the country.
We have a half dozen ICU patients that are waiting for beds and don't have beds for them yet.
But despite the surges, revelers at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade showing little concern.
Everyone's masked, I'm vaccinated, we feel safe, and it's great to have starting to get things back.
And some good news out of Long Island, New York. An ER that was forced to close earlier this week because not enough staff was vaccinated will reopen today. Governor Kathy Hochul announcing that state health officials have managed to alleviate the staffing issue. And back to that new variant, the World Health Organization will meet with South African scientists today and will assign it a Greek letter.
So they're going to assign a new letter to it. We'll see what they call it. That's a pretty scary report. You know, I mean, if you take it at face value, I guess they threw in something there to try to be a little more pleasant about the Thanksgiving Day parade. But one thing you do notice in that report is what the one of the doctors said. He said maybe it's more transmissible. He said maybe it's less effective to be vaccinated and so forth, although the vaccines haven't been effective anyway, so that seems like a waste of time to talk about. But a lot of maybes. Well, this is kind of the narrative that's been pushed for a long time. What have the experts been right on so far? What have they been right on so far about COVID? I think it's interesting to note, just one other point. Fox reported that one scientist described the mutations as horrific in an interview with the BBC. So they are terrifying people. And, you know, there are some people that don't buy into all of it so much, but there are a lot of people that do. And they're terrified. And it's affecting all of us. It affects the way that we go about our day-to-day lives. It's interesting, too, in that report, they said that they could open up an intensive care unit because they found people that were vaccinated. Well, what difference does that make? This new variant apparently the vaccine doesn't work against it. You know, so it's just this constant effort to really scare people. And it's working. The scaremongering is working very effectively. Of course, we've seen a lot of things happen because of the COVID fear. But the CDC talks about this. They say symptoms of anxiety disorder and depressive disorder increased considerably in the United States during April, June of 2020 compared with the same period of 2019. Well, of course it did, because people were being scared to death. They're being scared to death by this. You see some people that they don't seem to be that concerned, but a lot of people really are. And if you just watch these media reports and you listen to these so-called experts, you would be scared. You'd be terrified. You'd be absolutely terrified. I remember at the height of the last COVID scare, which was about a year ago maybe, when they still had a lot of the mask mandates here locally in this area. I remember I was sitting in my car waiting for my wife to come out of the grocery store, and I watched an older man come out and put his groceries in his car. I kid you not, it took him 15 minutes to do it because he was cleaning everything. He was cleaning his car handles, door handles. He was cleaning his grocery bags before he put them in the car. Then he cleaned his hands again. He was wearing, it looked like a spacesuit. You know, but what would you do if you listen to reports like this, you believe everything they say, then that's what you do. You live in terror. And then what happens? You have anxiety disorder. You have all kinds of depression. That's what's happening. People are being scared to death by these reports. But why don't we just take a step back for a second and look at the logic of some of this. What have the experts been right about so far with COVID? I can't think of anything. Why would we listen to them now? Why are they experts now? They've been wrong the entire time. You know, Dr. Fauci has been wrong about just about everything related to COVID. They say one thing, then they say another. And the excuse is that they're following the data. Well, isn't the logical conclusion then that either the data's bad or he's not good at reading the data? I mean, how long can you fail at your job before people say, we need to find somebody else to do this job? If you took your car to a mechanic and they could never fix it, wouldn't you say, that guy's probably not a good mechanic? I need to find another car or place to take my vehicle. How long do you keep going back to somebody who claims to be an expert or a group of people, but they keep changing the story? How long until people say, you know, I don't trust this. I don't think you're an expert. You have a lot of maybes. I have a lot of fear mongering. But where's the proof in any of this? They throw out some data, but how do you prove it? Dr. Fauci said recently that the vaccines that he helped create saved millions of lives. Well, that sounds good. How do we know that? We do have data on how many people have died from it, but we don't want to talk about that too much. But here it comes again with the fear-mongering. The fear-mongering. These people are experts. I will hand it to them. They are experts at creating fear. Not at the other stuff. They're experts at creating fear. They're experts at creating fear. And why do they want to create fear? Why build up these stories, these narratives? And that's what they're very good at. They're good at making up their stories. They've even bragged about that. You remember with the Iran situation when Obama was still in office, they made up this big narrative, and I think it was Ben Rhodes came out and talked about that, bragged about it. Yeah, they're very good at making up stories to scare you. But let's use some logic here. Let's use some logic. Why are they doing this? Well, it's to bend people to their will. Because when you're afraid, you'll do whatever you're told. Fear is powerful. It's extremely powerful. Here's another quote I want to give you. I'm going to give you a quote, and then I want to play a clip for you. This is a quote. Again, this is from Mr. Fleury's latest Trumpet article. He says, "Yet the devil," and there is a devil, "yet the devil is a master at presenting himself and his ideas and policies as good and noble while rejecting law and bending people to his will." See, they'll say one thing, but then they don't do it. And they bend people to their will. Satan does that. Mr. Fleury says, "We cannot judge the words by the words of these leaders. We must judge by the fruits of what they are doing." So a lot of scary words. But what do they do? What the elites, what do they do? You might remember something that happened this summer. Look at the fruits of this. Go ahead and play clip four.
So you might know this by now. Former President Obama said to have scaled back the guest list for his 60th birthday bash. But man, was that tent big, Dana. The party did go on. Hundreds of guests in attendance. The former president can be seen in pictures hitting the dance floor without a mask. We're told that he danced all night and had a great time. Happy birthday to the president. Joe Conches, a media politics columnist for The Hill and a Fox News contributor. Hello, Joe, to you. Here is the coverage by network. Are you ready? MSNBC, 2 minutes, 45 seconds. CNN, 5 minutes. Fox News Channel, 17 minutes, 35 seconds. You want to make sense of this?
Oh, well, it seems that this is being ignored for some reason. Wonder why that is. I think that tent, by the way, is going to host the Super Bowl in 2025. You're right. That thing is big. No question about it. But as for our media, look, no mention of Obama Fest anywhere on the Sunday talk shows either. And instead, I'm watching Chuck Todd, who will never be confused with Tim Russert, on Meet the Press. And he broached instead the Sturgis biker rally in an interview with the ubiquitous Dr. Fauci. And Fauci went off on the biker rally, but didn't bring up the former president's massless mega party. So it may lead to an increasing number of people starting to think that the doctor is seeing things through a political prism than a scientific one. Either way, our so-called leaders are not leading by example, Bill, Dana, whether that's the former President Obama, whether that's Newsom, Pelosi, Lightfoot, Bowser, countless others, all caught breaking their own rules. But they don't care because they know that most of the media, they're going to provide cover instead of actual, you know, coverage.
That's something we should remember that happened, right? But listen to what they had said there. They're breaking their own rules. They make these rules and they tell you, you better follow them because if you don't, you're going to die. Or you're going to kill somebody because of your recklessness. And then they go out and do whatever they want. They don't follow those rules. If it was really that bad, just think about it. And I mean, COVID obviously is an illness and it does cause some problems. But the fear-mongering that they're creating around it, the sensationalism that they're creating around it, you just have to stop and think about it for a second. If it was really that bad, and they've got the inside data, right? I mean, they're the ones looking at it. Wouldn't they be running for their lives? They seem pretty comfortable. Hanging out at birthday parties, not wearing masks. They seem like they're having a great time. Why aren't they afraid? I mean, you're supposed to be afraid. I'm supposed to be afraid, but they're not afraid. Why aren't they afraid? What do they know that the rest of us aren't privy to? That they're fear-mongering, right? They're trying to create fear. They're not afraid of this. They're not afraid of COVID. You don't see them running around scared about it. And a lot of the leaders, the elites, as it were, they're in that age category where they should be the most afraid, right? I mean, if you're older, like, that's a problem. They're not afraid. You can take climate change as well, not to shift gears totally, but it's another one of these fear-mongering tactics. You know, the oceans are going to rise. Everyone's going to be flooded on the coast. why didn't Nancy Pelosi just buy a mansion that is right on the ocean in Florida? Why did she go? And why did she go to Florida since San Francisco is a paradise? It doesn't make sense. If you were really scared of climate change and you wanted everybody to make these changes because we're all going to die if we don't, you wouldn't buy a mansion there, would you? Why would you do that? It gets right back to what Mr. Fleury is saying, and he's basing it on Christ's words. You got to look at the fruits. Look at the fruits, not just the words. It's easy to talk a big game and be real scary sounding and throw all kinds of data around and show you a picture of a spike protein with COVID with a spike protein on it. But what about the fruits? If it's that bad, if we should be this concerned, how come they're not following their own rules? See, it's just logic. But the fear is a weapon. The fear is a weapon to change things for them as they want them to be changed. Mr. Fleury wrote in that article, again, it's a new one in the New Trumpet. He said, the elites are destroying our societies so they can trigger a great reset and build back better. You've heard that before, right? Build back better. But they want to rebuild to some kind of perverse socialist or communist utopia. They are woefully misguided, while they hypocritically enjoy freedoms and powers they deny to everyone else. They oppress and tyrannize. Well, that's exactly what we saw in that clip, right? They tell us, well, you better not, you know, hey, you probably shouldn't even get together with your family for Thanksgiving. You know, you got to be really careful. They all get together and do whatever they want all the time. They don't follow those rules. They, as he says, they hypocritically enjoy freedoms and powers they deny to everyone else as they oppress and tyrannize. They act as if they can build a better world as they plunge the world into nuclear World War III. You've got to go on and read the rest of that article. I mean, there's a lot to be said about it. And it's not just the elites. There's a lot to be discussed there in terms of how individuals live and how we all conduct ourselves. But again, right on time, this trumpet comes out. It's talking about these things, and then here we have this new variant coming out, and it's going to be used as effectively as possible to scare people, to keep scaring them. Oh, here comes another one. They just keep coming out, and it's just like clockwork, and it keeps it on the front page. It keeps it on the front page. Meanwhile, what are the things pushed off the front page? Well, if you've been watching the Trumpet Daily this week, you know Stephen Fleury's been talking about that terror attack in Waukesha. That's what it was. But you don't even hear anything about it anymore. Well, we don't have time for that because, after all, there's a new COVID variant. We've got to keep this narrative going. The fear-mongering. But the point to remember here, as Mr. Fleury points out, is you can't just judge by their words. Look at their fruits. Look at what they do. They're not afraid, but they want you to be afraid. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the other side of the coin, the more positive side of the coin, having courage. We need courage. We can have courage. We'll talk about that right after this. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Show and watching it in some cases. We'll be back right after this break.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td at kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Show. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Stephen Fleury today. Thanks for spending some time with me here on this Friday. And those books that were offered there at the break, essential books. And the new Trumpet we were talking about, just essential. 1-866-930-3024. You can call that number to request those. 1-866-930-3024. Or if you want to send in a request, you can send it to td@thetrumpet.com. Or go to thetrumpet.com, and you can obviously download it and read the literature right there. So vitally important pieces to understand what's happening in this world. There's this headline yesterday. I understand why they're doing it, but it sounds funny as you first read it. This is from Germany, RT.com, talking about the COVID fear-mongering. It says, anyone wishing to be euthanized now has to first present proof of vaccination or recovery from COVID. So if you want to go in and be euthanized and killed, that you've got to prove that you've been vaccinated first. If you were going to get euthanized, why would you get vaccinated anyway? What difference would it make? Now, I know the reason they're saying to do it is because they don't want their workers there to get sick and all that. But headlines like that, you know, you think, wow, this is straight out of The Onion or some other joke website, satirical website, but it's not. These are the things that are happening in this world. So again, it shows you some of the fear, but we need the other side of it. We need to have courage. You know, there's a lot of fear in this world. Fear is a crippling enemy. We have to conquer it, and we have to have courage. There are some great examples in history of people that have had courage, and I've been reading about a few. I was reading a book recently, The Pioneers. That's the title of it. It's by David McCullough, as you see on your screen there. I think he's a pretty good writer. I've liked some of his books that he's written over the years. I've read them about history and such. And this has been a pretty good one. And it's the heroic story of the settlers who brought the American ideal west. So they were trying to expand west in the United States. And the history in this book begins in 1787. A man by the name of Manasseh Cutler and a group of investors and adventurers had an idea to settle the land surrounding the Ohio River. And this group of people was called the Ohio Company. You know, some people had gone out there and seen the land. It was a rich land. The river was right there for travel and such and getting goods there. But it needed to be settled. It needed to be worked with. There was a lot of forest, dense forest. A lot of things had to be done to get it to be, usable. But if it could be made usable, there was great wealth there. So people were excited about this adventure. And some people began to say, hey, let's get out there. Let's get some money together, get a group of people, and go out and settle that area. And so some did. They went out there. And the land around the river, as mentioned, had old, dense forests full of just massive trees, huge trees. There was one example of a tree. It was so large in circumference that a man just hollowed it out and lived in it until he got, I guess, some other place to live. But that's how big the trees were, that a man could live in it fairly comfortably. That gives you an idea of the type of trees that were out there. So they had to clear that forest. That was hard work, but there was this super rich farmland underneath, this great farmland, these great blessings of God that we're thankful for, and we should be thankful for, just beautiful land, and it was worth doing the hard work. It took work. They had to get out there and do it. But it was worth it. The Ohio Company saw this area as a new sort of promised land. So this is like the promised land. You know, they knew their Bibles to some extent, and they knew Israel went to the promised land. And they said, this is like a promised land for us. We want to go out there and use this land and reap the blessings from it. And it was a blessed land. There was rich rewards, but people had to have courage to go out there and get those blessings. They needed courage. We live in a world today where, again, it's all fear-mongering. How about some courage? We need courage. We have to be people that are courageous. The history in Exodus 3, verses 7 and 8, God promised to bring Israel out of slavery in Egypt. You know, here this Ohio Company is thinking back to ancient Israel. Well, God did that. He did bring Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and he brought them into the promised land. He brought them into that promised land. And in the case of ancient Israel and the American pioneers, and you and I, today, I mean, we're making our way today in this world, we need to have courage. We have to have courage. We need courage. Notice a couple of passages here. We'll read Exodus 3, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, it says, "And the Eternal said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Yeah, there are some sorrows today, aren't there? Are there people crying out to God today? Well, God's people are, because of the fear, because of the changes that are being pushed upon people. Verse 8, it says, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites." So it was a good land. Now, there were people there. There were some people that they were going to have to deal with. There were some things that had to be done, but God was going to deliver them. In this COVID crisis, who talks about God delivering us? Who, do you hear that from any of the experts? I'm more interested in what God has to say than what another human being has to say in terms of how to solve the problem. God's the expert. God's the one that delivers. That's what we need to be looking to. There are always some tests. There are always some situations and obstacles that come up that require courage when we're on our way to God's blessings. We have to have courage, and we have to be obeying God and being courageous. Let's look at another passage. This is in Numbers 13. We won't pick up all of it here, but it talks about, again, a little further down in the history of what happened to ancient Israel. They were going to this promised land. They were going to be brought to this promised land, and but they ran into some obstacles. Notice Numbers 13, and we'll start in verse 25 there. It says, "And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. You remember they sent the spies in, check out the land, see what it's like. "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." And as we see here and as we read, it was exactly like God said. It was a promised land. It was an overflowing land of great wealth. And it's and they said, "We came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it." They brought the fruit back. "Nevertheless, the people..." Now here comes the fear side of it, though. Yeah, that's all great, but we're afraid of something. They were afraid. Some of them were, anyway. It says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites," so on and so forth. But see, if you remember what we just read earlier, God knew that those people were there. That wasn't a surprise to God. He said, "Yeah, I'm going to have you go to the promised land, and these people are there." So that wasn't a surprise to God. He had a plan to deal with those things. They had to trust God. They had to have courage. They had to have courage. But yet some did not. God knows how to deliver people from trials. Things don't surprise God. He's not surprised. Sometimes people say, "Well, how come God didn't say anything about this COVID situation?" Look, you think God is surprised by COVID or what's happening with the fear-mongering? He's not surprised by any of these things, and he has a plan to solve it if we'll look to him. We have to believe God. We have to have courage. We can't listen to the fear-mongering. There are times to be concerned about things, of course, and take them seriously, but that's different than fear. What about faith? What about faith? We need to have faith. There were some that had courage in these spies. It goes on and says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it." He was ready to go right then. He said, "For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people." They were the fear mongers. They had the big headlines and huge font and red letter. "We can't go up there. There's too many people up there." Just like we saw the headlines earlier, the fear. And Caleb said, "No way. We can do this." Most lacked courage. You can go on and read more of that there for time. I won't do that. But again, most of them lacked courage. They were afraid to go and conquer, and the people believed the negative report. Now, Caleb and Joshua, they had courage. See, the lack of courage, though, fear is what spread. Fear spreads. Panic spreads. Terror spreads. And we see that happening today. Terror spreads. Fear spreads. A lack of courage plagued the Israelites. A lack of courage also plagued the pioneers of the Ohio Company, the people that were going out to develop this river area. They began to develop the land near the Ohio, but they ran into some problems. They ran into attacks from Indians. They got into some battles. There were health problems. Would you believe people died because they got sick? There were other things. And because those things began to happen, in particular some of these battles, they began to have a lot of terror and a lot of fear. And that fear spread. You know, word spreads and it spread. And so there was a general that was sent there, General St. Clair. He was sent. He wasn't the best man for the job, but he was the expert they sent out to try to deal with some of the problems they were having with the Indians. And he led a ragtag army of about 300 men into this dense wooded area around the Ohio River, trying to give a little bit of comfort and a little bit of protection to those settlers in the Ohio Company. But he wasn't ready for the battle. He wasn't ready. They weren't prepared, and they were outnumbered and outmatched. And there was 300 of those men that went out there, and what do you suppose happened? They got annihilated. They were destroyed. Very few escaped. Some did. Escaped and ran for their lives and ran back to tell everybody about the horrible experience. And the terror spread. Word of the defeat spread. Many people fled Ohio in fear. You know, they went out there with these high hopes, these dreams. They could see this blessed land before them. They said, this is a new promised land. But just like ancient Israel, they got afraid. The fear overwhelmed them. And what did they do? Many of them headed back. Right on the cusp of, you know, realizing a big return on their investment. But they went back home because they were afraid. Because the terror spread. Fear spreads. What do headlines like what we read about in the first part of the program do today, that we read today? What do? They cause fear. Terror. It's going to spread. So, oh, did you read the headline? Did you see there's this new variant? And, you know, the fear. And then people collapse under it and just give in and retreat. There was fear. Fear is contagious and it spreads. But the positive side of this is that courage spreads too. If somebody will have courage, that spreads too. And there was a man that came out of the Ohio Company that had courage. Manasseh Cutler, who I mentioned at the beginning as being a driving force of the Ohio Company, he had a son named Ephraim. Very interesting names, if you know anything about the United States and Britain and prophecy. But he had a son named Ephraim, and shortly after this massacre there of St. Clair's army, Ephraim Cutler took his family to the Ohio. Most people were getting out. He said, I'm going in. I'm going to make a run at this in the Ohio River area. And he did. Was it easy for him? No, it was not. On the way there, two of his children died of sickness. He had to bury his children on the way. Very difficult. And he loved his children. He had to bury them. And he became ill as well, deathly ill. He almost died. But he recovered. And on page 126 of the book, The Pioneers, McCullough writes this. He says, the son of Manasseh Cutler had come to Ohio and brought his family with him. And that he so clearly had come to stay did much to the life and spirits of the earliest settlers. He was staying. He wasn't going to leave, no matter what. He had two children die. He got sick. None of it mattered in the sense of pushing him back. He didn't give in to that fear. Of course, it was hard, and he mourned that tragedy. But he wasn't going to leave. He had courage. He stayed. Everybody else ran, and he stayed. He stayed. And he wasn't, according to McCullough, you know, the most talented man. He wasn't the most gifted person you'd ever run into, but he had courage. He had the courage to stick it out and to stay, and he did. And people began to rally around that. Oh, this guy can stay. You know, maybe I can stay. Maybe I can make a run of it. Maybe I can do something. And he did stay. And a lot of others did as well. As McCullough notes, the very fact that he was going to stay, no matter what, displayed courage to people. They saw that courage, and it inspired others to have courage as well. Fear spreads, but so does courage. Now, going back to ancient Israel, only Caleb and Joshua displayed courage when they gave a report of the Promised Land. And God loved the courage that they had. He loved it. Now, they weren't able to persuade everybody at that time, but they were used powerfully later. See, God could use that courage. Sometimes we can say, well, you know, I'm not the most gifted person. I'm not the expert. Well, but if we have some courage, though, see, God can work with that. If we'll have some courage, we'll have some faith, we'll obey God. He can work with that. Notice what happened later in Joshua's life. This is in Joshua 1, verses 6 and 7. God says to him, this is Joshua's going to go into the Promised Land, take Israel in there. It says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous. This is what you need to do. He said, be strong and be courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. It takes courage to obey God's law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wheresoever you go. So keeping the law of God is instrumental. And it takes courage to do that, especially in a world that's going the other direction. They were going into a land where people didn't know God. They didn't obey God. They had their false gods. They had their experts. And Israel was coming in with the expert. They were coming in with God. And God said, be courageous. You be courageous, and you go and do whatever I need you to do. Mr. Gerald Fleury wrote about this in the Former Prophets booklet. That's a free book, and you can get that. Again, 1-866-930-3024. That's 1-866-930-3024. Or you can send your request to td@thetrumpet.com. Great book to get. So many lessons in the Former Prophets. Mr. Fleury writes, courage seemed to be Joshua's major strength. Joshua was a warrior. He had proven himself before he went into the Promised Land. You know, when we read about that history, how he proved himself. And he did other things as well. But it says, but God also told him at that time, don't be afraid. Stand up and be courageous. Wherever you go, I am with you. God wanted him to build more courage because there were far bigger battles ahead. Like we read about in the beginning, in that Trumpet article that Mr. Fleury wrote, he said, look, things are actually going to get worse than they are now, and that's based on Bible prophecy. But if you're with God, you can have courage. You can have courage, but you have to have the courage to obey God, of course. And then God will be with us, and he'll be with you. And we don't have to go around in fear and in terror like the world is, much of the world is. They're being convinced that they have to be terrified of every little thing. But God says, look, I'll take care of it. What the people that were in the Promised Land there, were they not there? No, they were there. Was it a threat? Yes. God says, I'll take care of it. You just have courage. You just go in there. You do what I'm telling you to do. You obey me, and I'll take care of it. And it's no different today. God hasn't changed. The Bible's clear on that. The same yesterday, today, and forever. There can be things that are serious. But we don't have to go around in fear and terror, like the headlines try to tell us to be, and the experts try to tell us to be. Let's listen to the expert, God. And he says, look, you be courageous. You go do what I say to do, because I'll be with you. And I'll give you the help you need. I'll deliver you. And that's what we need. God wanted Joshua to build more courage. And that's something that we all have to build, because, you know, we're not naturally courageous. we are fearful, typically, you know, on our own. But with God, we can be very courageous. Mr. Fleury continues there in the Former Prophets. He says, when men like this are chosen, they cause good things to happen. You get a leader with some courage, a godly leader, good things are going to happen. So that's a great measuring tool for all of us. Do good things happen where we are, or do fearful things happen? or courageous things. It should be courageous things. He says, God said in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 35 that none of the men in that generation would see the promised land, but Joshua the son of Nun, which stands before you, he shall go in there, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And he writes, put Joshua in charge, and he will cause good things to happen in Israel. God wants us to do that as well. Cause positive things to happen and cause successes in our lives and the lives of those we lead. You know, you look at the those headlines today, like I mentioned, those terrifying headlines. Is that going to do anybody any good? Is it going to cause any good? Is it going to really cause success and blessings in people's lives? It's not. It's just going to terrify people. And it's going to get them to bend to the will of those that are in charge and want to change things. See, that's all that's being done there, is trying to make people afraid because then you can manipulate them. God doesn't want us to go around in fear. We should be afraid to disobey God, for sure. We should fear God in that way, and that's talking about a proper reverence and respect, not terror, but proper respect. We don't want to break God's laws, and if we are obeying him, then he says, look, you can be courageous. You can do a lot of things, because he'll be with us. He'll help us. He told Joshua that, and Joshua did. He did. We have to have courage. Courage based on faith in God. So again, those are great questions to ask. Do we cause good things to happen where we are? If we're put in charge of something, do we cause good things to happen there? Or do we cause the opposite, negative things? And really, a lot of it, of course, it comes down to obeying God, certainly. But then there has to be courage. There has to be courage. You know, if you were to believe the media right now, I think most everybody would just hide in their basements until they died, I guess. I don't know. What else are you supposed to do? You know, what else are you supposed to do? Even from a logical standpoint, all the things that they're talking about in the headlines today and the new COVID variant and all this, what's anybody going to do about it? You know, even if what they're saying, let's say, was 100% accurate, well, what's anyone going to do about it? The experts haven't solved it yet. They haven't solved anything yet. It's worse than ever. The more vaccines people get, the more sick they get. That's the logic. The logic, if you look at it, is, okay, well, they're not helping us anyway, the experts in these things. But we can have faith in God, courage in what God says. We don't. How often do you hear the experts or the media talk about God at all? They don't talk about it. They talk about evolution. But here God says, look, you obey me. You put me at the top as the expert, and you follow what I say, and you can have courage, and you're going to cause good things to happen. You're going to cause good things to happen. And again, we're all afraid naturally, just as we are as people, but God will give us the courage we need if we obey him and we go to him for help. Here's a few things we can consider. Here's some steps we can take to try to develop more courage and to have more courage. And the first one is to pray for courage. We have to pray for courage. We have to ask God to give that to us. We don't have it on our own. We're not just going to work it up. We don't want to just build up some ridiculous vanity over something. We want to go to God for courage. There's a promise in John 16 and verse 23. Christ said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He'll give it to you. Now, of course, we have to ask for correct things, things that are good. We have to know the will of God. But Christ also talks about the fact that, look, you're just a human, right? And if you're a father and your son asks you for something or your daughter, you try to give them good things. You don't give them bad things. And you're just a person. How much more so God? Of course he'll give us those things we need. If there's something that God needs us to do and we're afraid, he'll give us the courage to do it. If we ask him and if we obey him, we can be courageous. We have to ask. We have to pray. You know, we don't receive things if we don't ask for them. So that means we've got to ask God for courage. That's where the courage comes from. That's how Joshua had courage. That's how Caleb had courage. They asked God for it. And even those people that went out to the Ohio River area, although certainly they didn't know, you know, God's truth fully, they did have some understanding. They did look at their Bibles. You can read through the history. They actually spent time looking at it, and a lot more so than most do today. Pray for courage. Second step is to prepare for the battle. You have to prepare for the battle. Whatever is coming up, you've got to prepare for it. You know, praying for it is essential, but then we've got to do our part. So we've got to prepare. We've got to prepare. There's a lot of examples of that. You can think of King David is probably one of the best, you know, where he killed Goliath in that battle. But see, he also was prepared. He had killed some pretty ferocious animals. He knew how to use a sling and a stone. See, he knew how to do some things. He had developed some abilities and some skills there. He was prepared, and he was close to God, of course. We have to prepare for the battle. There's examples in Proverbs. Proverbs 24:27 talks about preparing, getting things in order. Prepare your work without. Get that done first. Make it fit for yourself in the field and then build your house. There's an order to things. We have to prepare for whatever the battle is that's ahead. Proverbs 30 and verse 25 talks about the ants, the little insects. The ants I think they're insects. They're ants. That's what I know. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Look, they take care of what they need to because God's built them to do that. They do it on instinct. And it's an example for us. Okay, so maybe we're fearful. Let's pray for courage, and then let's prepare for whatever we have to face. Prepare. Prepare for the battle. And finally, and sometimes this is maybe one of the hardest things, but it's pretty simple. The third step is you have to put one foot in front of the other. If you're afraid of something, but you've got to go do it, you literally just have to put one foot in front of the next. After you've prayed about it, after you've asked God for courage, after you've done all that you can to prepare, then you've got to put one foot in front of the other and go. And go. Israel had to walk into the promised land. David had to walk up to Goliath. Matter of fact, he ran up to him because he was eager for the battle. The people going out to the Ohio River area, they had to walk. They had to put one foot in front of the other and walk for days and miles through the woods and the snow and then take canoes and other things. But they had to put one foot in front of the other. They had to go do it. They had to go face the battle. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20, David talking to Solomon, his son, and giving him advice. He gives him the same advice that God gave to Joshua, and same advice that we get when we read these passages. This is what God's telling us, too. It says, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. You know, do what God has for you to do. Solomon was building this amazing house for God, this amazing structure. And he had to rule a nation. There was a lot of things he had to do. And David told him, he said, look, be strong and of good courage and do it. Just you have to get out there and do it. You've got to put one foot in front of the other. You look at how, you know, and this is just a tip of the iceberg in terms of biblical passages on courage. But there's some of the good examples. And then historically, too, people that had to have courage to make things happen. We have to have courage as a people, and we live in an age of fear because fear controls people. As Mr. Fleury said, and I read part of that article earlier, it's in the New Trumpet, you know, they want to bend people to their will. They want to bend people to their will. Fear really will bend people. But courage can spread, and we need to be courageous people and be courageous for God and be courageous for God. That new trumpet, you need to get that. That's free, of course. You can get a subscription by calling 1-866-930-3024. 1-866-930-3024. You can send your request to td@thetrumpet.com as well. Get that new trumpet or go to the trumpet website. Read it. Read these articles. Get some courage from God's word on what we need to do in these fearful times. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Dwight Falk, have a great weekend. See you back here Monday with Stephen Fleury.